Today is Thursday, the 11th of January, 2018, and my name is Adam, and welcome to the Geeky Gay Show. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a fabulous week. So today is going to be a car cast because I don't have time to record in the studio, and we're going to go ahead and just knock out a little episode in the car. And I've been recording in the studio recently since I started back because I do like the way that sounds better, but I can't always do it. So this, I figured this is, you know, this is a good thing for me to do when I don't have time to get in the studio and sit down and do all that. Because let me start off the show by saying New Orleans. New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans, New Orleans. The Big Easy, one of the homes of jazz. I don't think it's the birthplace of jazz, but like, it's jazz lives there and frequents New Orleans quite often. There is the home of Voodoo and Madame, what's her name? Madame, I don't know. There's like a voodoo shop with her name. I think it was the setting of that show. Oh, American Horror Story Coven. I could be wrong about that, but I thought one of them was in New Orleans. But anyway, regardless, New Orleans. So why am I saying New Orleans over and over and over and over again? The reason I'm saying New Orleans over and over and over again is because we are having Pride 48 2018 in New Orleans, Louisiana. I don't know, for whatever reason in my last episode, I kept saying Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. I said Vegas so many times, I must be getting super old and senile. Because I literally said, hey guys, we're not having Pride 48 in Vegas this year. We're having it in Vegas. What the hell? Anyway, so I just want to say Pride 48 2018 is in New Orleans, August 24th through the 26th. And for a lot of you, that's closer. For those of you who are out there on the West Coast, it's not closer. I'm so sorry. But we've been having it in Vegas for years and years and years, so you guys have had the luxury of having it close. So we're moving it over to the other side of the country for a year, and we're going to see how that goes. We do not have a hotel selected yet, but there will be a host hotel, and we will be doing live broadcasts just like we did in Vegas. And, you know, we may make some changes to format and or events that happen. But we, you know, it is going to be a similar event, and we hope to see all of you there. I know that RT Cruza is already making plans, and also hopefully Scotty, Little Lossie Battler, who's never been able to attend one, is also looking at plane fares, train fares, automobile fares, all that kind of stuff. So you guys, if you come, you're going to get to see not only some of your favorite podcasters from the U.S., but also some of your favorite podcasters and podcast listeners from other countries. Also, Shy Yeti, Paul, is looking to come as well, and he's got the Shy Yeti, the Shy Life podcast. So there are plenty of podcasters and listeners that you'll be able to see from all over the world if you choose to come. For those of you who've not been before, but it's closer for you, you know, heck, drive. You know, I may drive because it's only like a, I don't know the exact amount, but it's somewhere between 8 and 10 hours for me. And like I said before, my hometown, or I said at some point to someone, my hometown, which is where I went for Christmas, is about halfway. So if I had to, I could drive halfway, stop, see my brother, or, you know, whatever. And then I have a frog in my throat. Is that a southern thing to say you have a frog in your throat? I have some phlegm in my throat that won't go away all of a sudden. And I didn't even eat any dairy. Oh, yes, I did. There was cheese in my... Maybe it's from the cheese in my ravioli for lunch. Anyway, I was going to say that life is so busy. Like, you know, I wish I had one of those lives. I say that, but I probably enjoy it being busy. But I always wondered what it would be like to have more of a life of leisure. You know, you don't have to go to work every day. You don't have a million things to do. You can just sit at home and, you know, watch TV, read a book, do whatever you want to do. But so I have work, you know, like most of us do. And then now that I'm back on my losing weight kick, I wanted to go to the gym. P90X is good. I think P90X is really good, but it just wasn't giving me fast results in the area of, you know, burning calories. So I wanted to go back and do elliptical at the gym, but, you know, I have to drive to the gym. I have to change clothes, you know, once I get there into my workout clothes. I have to do the workout. Then I have to, you know, it's cold outside right now, so usually I need to change clothes again to something warmer and then drive home, you know, and then, you know, that adds extra time. And now that we're not eating fast food all the time, I have to cook. And Mark could cook, but this is where I struggle in life. When I have a skill, it's just something I already know how to do. And this applies for work as well as home. When I already know how to do something, it's hard for me to delegate that to someone else because generally I have to show them how to do it, which takes just as long as if I had done it myself. So for cooking, I don't always have a recipe. Mark is really good at cooking, but he needs a recipe. He needs what temperature is the oven going to be? How long are you going to leave it in? What exact spices are you going to put on the thing? Are you going to pound the meat out? Or are you going to, you know, pound the meat? You know, what are you going to do? What veggies are going to go with it? How are you going to prepare those? Like, and a lot of times I just have a rough idea in my head about whatever meal it is that I'm going to cook, but I don't have a recipe, you know? I'm like, I'm gonna saute some chicken breast and I'm gonna roast some cauliflower and maybe make some asparagus or something, you know? And I know I have a rough idea of what tastes good on those things. And like, I know I usually will start the chicken in a pan 6 minutes on a side and then, you know, I'll finish it in the oven and I'll, you know, all that kind of stuff. And actually he knows how to cook meat, but so I generally have to, the only thing I don't like about this mic is if I breathe wrong, it breathes right into the microphone. But anyway, so generally it's easier for me to cook because, you know, he wants so much instruction that, you know, I might as well be in there doing it myself. Now, I know the argument would be if you teach him how to do it, eventually he'll need less and less and less instruction. And then, you know, you won't, but you have to put in the hours or the minutes or whatever up front. And then once he knows how to do it, you know, and he gets to the same stage that you're at, then you won't have to spend that time. Well, you know, that's true. But the same thing is true at work. When I have someone who, you know, anytime my boss says, hey, you need to delegate this to someone else, it always irritates me so much because I have to sit by them and tell them exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, you know, if they have issues, who do they need to reach out to, you know, to help them solve their issues, et cetera, et cetera. And the same argument has been told to me by my bosses. Well, yes, the first time or two you will have to do that, but if it's a task that you have to do if it's a repetitive thing, then eventually they're going to know how to do it, and then you're going to be able to move on to something else. And I understand that, but that beginning phase where you're having to like walk them through step by step and they don't know what they're doing, it's a nightmare. I'm just like, oh my God, I could have done this myself twice as fast. And so because of that, because of my busyness and, you know, I have to cook. And then by the time I cook and then we eat, he does do the dishes, though, anytime I cook. So our arrangement is if I cook, he does the dishes. If he cooks, I do the dishes. So there's that. But by the time I get all that stuff done and we've eaten and everything, sometimes it's around 9 o'clock. And so it's hard for me to find time to sit down and record the podcast all the time. I should just do it on the weekend, but, you know, anyway. So there you go. So I didn't have a whole lot to talk about, but I did want to give you guys an update on my job situation, because I mentioned it. I definitely wanted to get a show out there to update you guys on the Pride 48 stuff. Again, New Orleans. I have the beginnings of dementia, and I'm saying the wrong thing, but New Orleans, I promise. New Orleans, August 24th through 26th. So other than that, I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update on my job sitch and, you know, tell you what's going on there. So I think in the last episode, I had already reached out to the manager of this other group. I believe I told you guys that. So if I didn't tell, because I don't remember what I say from show to show, but I sent out an email to the manager of this other group, and I just told him, you know, hey, I'm an automation. I'm a technical expert. My expertise is test automation. I know that you're currently building a team, and I feel like that's where my role should live. I feel like my role should live on your team. I feel like that's where we'll get the most success and, you know, et cetera, is if everything is consolidated. And I feel like, you know, it's an issue for us to have these three teams. So I just kind of wanted to discuss with you, you know, my skill set, what my interests are, what my vision is for test automation, for, you know, the organization, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I also wanted to get a feel for, I know you're building out your team. Do you have, you know, any positions open? Immediately after I sent that email, I started feeling guilty because my team is relatively small. And we're really struggling to make sure, you know, that we're providing value and that we, you know, our team is relevant. We all have skills that the company needs, but it's, can we deliver them with the size of the team that we've got and with the management that we've got, you know? I mean, because we all feel, most of us feel like we should be living on this other team. You know, we should be working on this other team. But for whatever reason, that's not what happened. So he said, okay, well, and he emailed back like almost immediately, and he said, you know, let's get together, let's have a one-on-one, let's discuss your vision, and also discuss what job openings I have. So I had that meeting today, actually just about an hour and a half ago, so not very long ago at all. And it went really well. I told him everything, kind of my vision. I told him, you know, we have these three teams that all seem to be working on the same sort of initiatives, and I feel like it would be best achieved if we were all consolidated, but that didn't happen. You know, when the organization changes happened, they didn't consolidate us, and so now we're on three separate islands just trying to accomplish some of the same things. And, you know, and I told him, you know, what my skills were and kind of gave him my background. He went into detail about what his vision is for his team, etc. And they seemed to line up, right? So his vision really lined up with my vision. And so when we got towards the end of the meeting, he said, so it sounds like, oh, and I also, look, I'm really honest with my management. I don't blow smoke. And I told him, I said, you know, the only thing he, in his email to me, he had said that he did have a position available, and it was an architect position, which is one or two levels above where I'm at right now, you know. And I even told him in the meeting, I said, you know, I'm very interested, and I think our vision is the same, and I think, you know, it would be a really good fit, but I said, the position that you have available, I said, I'm a hands-on, get in there, help teams solve their issues, help with strategy and figure out, you know, like what tools we should be using and how to implement those tools, how to, you know, really make it happen within the organization. And I have the relationships with all the teams that you would be working with or that we would be working with. So, you know, I laid all that out there. I said, but I'm going to be honest with you. It scares me a little bit to move into what you're calling an architect role because, you know, I've never done the designing an entire system, you know, and figuring out all of the moving parts and diagramming it all out and, you know, architecting a solution for something. I said, I've always been really in depth, but, you know, I figuring out the, really doing the research and figuring out the solutions, but I haven't done this, the huge overarching, you know, sort of thing. And I said, I definitely don't want to get on your team and overpromise and underdeliver. And I said, so, you know, that is a concern. And I said, you know, my other concern is leaving my team. I said, because we're a really small team and I've been one of the driving forces on the team and I don't want to leave them in the lurch. You know, I kind of have guilt going on. And he said, well, to your point about the position, he said, I have multiple positions open. He said, and he said, I have a position that's the same pay band as what you're making right now. And he said, we could definitely just do a lateral move, you know, into the same position, and we could grow you into that architect role, you know. And he said, so that's not a problem at all. He said, you know, I also don't want to put you in a position where, you know, set you up to fail. And anyway, bottom line, and he said, and concerning your team, he said, I think you hit the nail on the head that all of these objectives can best be achieved if we're all one team. And he said, you know, he said, so my hope is that if you take this step and move, that it would kind of spur some of the other folks to get on the bandwagon and to start kind of trying to migrate towards my team so that we can all work together as one team instead of being multiple teams. So he said, I have a recruiter that I'm working with. He said, so let me have my recruiter contact you if you're still interested and, you know, see what we need to do. He said, then eventually I'll have to talk to your manager and yada, yada. So that sounds like he's interested in me. And I don't know what kind of interviewing, like if they'll need to do separate interviews and actually have me do, you know, lay out what my skill sets are and all that kind of stuff. I hope I don't have to have some kind of coding interview because I'm not a developer. So if they start giving me coding problems like solve this, write an algorithm to count the number of trees in the state of Maine given this square footage, you know, or whatever. I mean, I hope I don't have an interview like that because my expertise is really testing and test automation. But if they ask questions about that, I have no doubt that I'll be able to answer all of them. Now, I'm going through kind of a guilt phase, though, because now I need to tell my boss. I need to tell my boss, hey, I had this conversation, because I haven't talked to my boss yet. And I have a little bit of fear, because what if I tell him, hey, I'm pursuing this, and these are the reasons why. He'll feel like I'm abandoning the team, first of all. And second of all, let's say I tell him all this and then I don't get this position. Well, then I'm still on my team, right? But now he's going to trust me less because he's going to think I'm just out there looking to move away from the team. And I want the team to succeed. I just don't think the team can succeed with the way things are structured. And I think for my career and to meet the vision that I have for the organization, I need to be part of this other team. I sound so corporate-y, but I mean, this is honestly how I feel. But anyway, and you know, honestly, I want to still have a job in a year. And the team that I'll be moving to, if this all works out, is the team that's going to stay around. I mean, that's the bottom line. That team is still going to exist where my team, it's unlikely that they will, you know, still be around. All right, so I've bored you guys for two episodes in a row about corporate stuff, but I think a lot of you probably have corporate jobs and you totally understand, you know, what I'm talking about. And so I definitely wanted to kind of mention it, you know, bring that stuff up. And if you have any comments or anything, you know, let me know if you guys have any experience in the corporate world, kind of going through the same situation where you're trying to move from one team to another, you know, that sort of stuff. And I tend to, when I see my job security starting to slip, or if I'm on a team that I feel is not on the right trajectory, we'll say, this is where I start feeling uncomfortable and start, you know, I start feeling antsy and wanting to, you know, do something else. You know, and the other thing about moving to another team is if that should happen, now I have to prove myself to a new manager and a new team. So I told Mark, I said, you know, if I make this move, I'm going to have to really put my nose to the grindstone and work really hard for a while and, you know, possibly go in early, stay late, you know, really do that kind of stuff to get off on the right foot. Because I have to make a good impression, you know, my first impressions are everything, and you really have to, I want, you know, if I do have this new manager, I want him to trust me and see my, you know, believe in me and see my expertise and my work ethic and all of that. So that means, guess what? More car casts, because I'll be, you know, or meeting room casts, where I quickly go into a meeting room and record an episode. So everyone wish me luck. And if you have any advice or any, you know, comments or thoughts about the corporate world, feel free to let me know, to contact me and let me know. I would love to hear from you. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go ahead and end it right here. And I thank you all for listening and, you know, listening to my life. For more information and episodes of the show, if you want to catch up on the back catalog of the show, you can go over to geekygay.com. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. I would love to hear any of your opinions on any of the stuff that I've talked about today or in any of the other episodes, or, you know, if you have a topic you want me to discuss. You can call me, 229-234-7587, and leave a voicemail. I have let that go for a couple of weeks. I'm going to start checking that next week, and hopefully I'll have some voicemails from Geeky Gay listeners. And you can also find many, many more shows over at Pride48.com that are LGBT and LGBT friendly. We're setting up a new streaming service that I'm going to have complete control over and going to be running the software and everything. So we're going to have a lot more radio-like quality and feel to the stream. And so I think it's going to be really good. But anyway, I will talk to you guys next week on our next episode. Thanks for listening. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at Pride48.com.